Let's pray together. Lord, we're just grateful that we get to be here. God, we're grateful that your word that we're about to look at isn't just words on paper, but it's alive. And God, you say that through your word, your spirit pierces our soul. Your word's like a double-edged sword. And so, God, we pray that you would give us the right posture this morning to receive your word, that we would hear your word, Lord, but we'd also be doers of it as well, that we'd work with you to figure out how it applies to our life. God, we want to leave here close to you and connected to others better. We want to leave here knowing your will for not only our lives, but this week and how to live this week. So, God, we look forward to what you have for us. Thank you for this series. And we just want to continue to talk about, Lord, what it looks like to hear you speak to us. Thank you. In your good name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to do things a little different this morning. You'll notice I have my coffee here because I want to pretend that we're sitting in a cafe together, just having a chat. If you guys want to, you know, get up and get coffee as I'm speaking, I'm not offended. Go ahead and get some because, yeah, all right, I see all you guys. So we're going to have a little coffee time, coffee chat. But we're finishing up our series called Can You Hear Him Now? We've been talking about hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice, that's just an amazing thing that the God who created everything would want to talk to us, would want to speak to us. And so we've been talking about what it looks like to hear from God. We started off talking about the different voices of God, how he speaks to us. We talked about what happens when we're hearing static on a line, when it's hard to hear God. Well, today we're going to finish up asking the question, does God really talk to people? I mean, what does that really look like? Now, as a reminder, we're finishing up the series this week, and next week we're beginning a brand new series that's connected with our growth groups. All the growth groups will be studying what's going on in the sermons. So they're all studying the same thing, and we're going to celebrate with a potluck. And so I just want to encourage you guys to come back for next week. But today we're going to finish it up. Now, I've noticed that when it comes to God speaking to people, there are two different types of Christians, two different extremes. The first extreme is what I want to call the GPS Christian, because when you talk to them, they always talk about how God talked to them. Like, you know, they're talking about, yeah, God told me yesterday to do this, and then today he told me to do this, and this morning he spoke to me and said this, and you feel like, wow, God talks to you all the time. He's like a little GPS telling you what to do every moment. You know, there's that extreme where, like, God is talking to you every single moment kind of person. And, you know, I hear those Christians, I think, at one point I feel jealous, like, wow, God talks to you that much? I wish I had God talk to me that much. But then I also notice that there's a trend with those types of Christians that sometimes their lives don't match up their faith, and you wonder what's really going on there. Then you have the other extreme Christian that, you know, I believe that God created the world and he gave us Jesus. But if he does anything more than that, that's freaky. He doesn't talk to us. I just get freaked out by that. You know, it's the God who's kind of like he created and he just left us alone. And when you say God talk to me, I think you're weird. It freaks me out. And so those are the kind of two extremes. And we're somewhere in the middle. We believe that God speaks. But we're going to talk about how he does and what that looks like. God, if you look in the Bible, the Old Testament, New Testament, you see that God actually spoke to people, that God guided people, and so we believe and assume that he does the same thing to hear, the same thing today. So we do want to say that God speaks to people, but, and here's the big but, that sounds bad, here's the big but, there are some things we need to be careful of because we make some bad assumptions about what life was like for people in the Bible who heard God speak to them. So we're going to look at a story of someone who heard God's voice regularly and try to pick out some principles of how did God speak to him and what does that mean for you personally? How does God speak to you? What was it really like back then? So what I want you to do is open your Bibles and we're going to turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings is in the Old Testament. If you find 2 Kings, it's right before that, in case you're curious. If you don't know where it is, you can look, find some of your neighbor. Also, Bibles have a table of contents as well, so you can look in the front and figure out where 1 Kings is. It's maybe about the 9th or 10th book in the Bible. So if you see 1st or 2nd Samuel, it's after that. 248, and if you have one of the church Bibles, it's page 248. And we're looking at 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. We're actually going to go through 1 Kings 17, 18, and 19. We're not going to read straight through, but we're going to kind of dive in, read a section, and pull out, and then dive in again and read different sections here. So if you've got 1 Kings 17, just shout out, "I've got it." All right, okay, good enough for me. I got 80%, I think, so we're there. All right, we're going to start 1 Kings chapter 17 right in verse 1. We're going to read about a man named Elijah. As we're reading the story, I want you just to take note of how does God speak to Elijah, and we'll go from there. So chapter 1 and verse 17. "Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will neither be dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word.'" Some background: Elijah is a prophet. He hears from God and speaks especially to the kings of the day. The king of Israel at the time was a guy named Ahab. Ahab was not a good guy. He was king of Israel, but what he did is he led the whole country to worship gods other than the God who saved them. So he was not a good king. He led people away from God. And what Elijah did, he heard from God that God was going to bring a drought on the land of Israel because of Ahab and the way he led people. So he says that, "I am telling you, Ahab, for the next few years, there will not be any dew or rain." Now, you need to remember that back then they didn't have sprinkler systems. They didn't have ways of transporting water. So if there's no rain, there's no water. You can't turn on the sink. It's drought. And, you know, back then it's mostly agriculture, so people's food and livelihood depended completely on whether rain would come. And so for someone to come and say there's going to be no rain the next few years, I don't know what that would be. That'd be like saying your salary is going to be frozen for 3 years straight. No money. And you're thinking, how are we going to survive? So that's what Elijah says. Verse 2. "Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, 'Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there.'" Now, how many of you wish that God would speak to you that way? Look at that. I mean, specific. Look at this. You know, "Leave, turn eastward, hide here. You will drink from here. I will get birds to feed." I mean, specific, point by point detail. And you hear that Elijah just hears from God crystal clear. I think, wouldn't that be great if life was like that for us all the time? Well, Elijah follows directions. Even though there's drought, he's fed. He finds a widow who takes care of him. The widow's son dies. He brings the son back to life. It's an amazing thing. And so let's go to chapter 18, verse 1. Chapter 18, verse 1. It says, after what? A long time, in the third year. So 3 years later. What I want to say is Elijah, that heard specifically from God what to do, as far as we know, didn't hear anything from God for 3 years straight after that. Okay? Just want to make note that there are seasons that he heard and seasons that he did. So 3 years later, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. So 3 years after the drought starts, he says, "Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land." So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, the king. So Elijah goes and talks to him. And then now let's skip to verse 17. Because now Ahab actually meets Elijah. And Ahab says this: "When Ahab saw Elijah," verse 17, "he said to him, 'Is that you, you troubler of Israel?'" He's like, "You're the guy who said there's going to be no rain, and you were right. 3 years later, we are hurting. I see you now. Is that you?" And, you know, the word, I don't think they're allowed to cuss in the Bible, but that would probably be you know, whatever you want to call him. He was upset at Elijah. So he says, "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and followed the Baals." The Baals are the god that Ahab worshipped. And get this, the Baals were the god of rain. Thank you, Martha. And it's not raining for 3 years, so the Baals aren't doing a good job. "You have abandoned the Lord's commands and followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me at Mount Carmel." Skip to verse 22. "Then Elijah said to all the people, 'I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets.' Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you will call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God. So Elijah's saying, look, you've been worshiping the God of Baal. You have 450 prophets. You've abandoned the God who saved you. Let's have a competition here. You take a bull, cut it up. I'll take one, cut it up. And we're going to both ask our God to set fire automatically to our altars. We'll see who wins. Make sense what's happening? Okay, so they do that. The prophets of Baal set theirs up. They call on their gods. They start screaming. They start cutting themselves. They're calling all night. Nothing happens. So Elijah loves this. Look what he says in verse 27. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder, he said. Surely he's a god. Perhaps he's deep in thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping, and you've got to wake him up. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with sword and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered, and no one paid attention. So then Elijah says, okay, watch what my God could do. He has the guys build a trench around his altar. They fill it up with water. Then they keep pouring water and water and water all over his sacrifice so that it's just totally drenched with water so that no one can say, oh, it just happened to spark. You know, it is wet. There's no way a fire is going to start. He calls on God, and in verse 36, the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, oh Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are the God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O God, answer me, so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice. Not only the sacrifice, but the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Then Elijah commanded them, seize the prophets of Baal, the ones who've been deceiving you. Don't let anyone get away. They seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered there, killed them all. Amazing success. Have you guys ever had a successful moment with God where you just feel like, I'm ready to conquer the world? God's done something amazing in your life. You're like, I'm ready to go for it. Have you guys had those times in your life where you just experienced God? And you would think that Elijah, after this, is like Mr. Superman Courageous. You know, he's probably strutting around Israel going, look at me, you know, because I am the only prophet of God. Look what God did. But look what happens to Elijah right after this. Chapter 19, verse 3. Elijah hears that Ahab's wife wants to kill him now. So 19, verse 3, it says, Elijah was what? Afraid. And ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat under it, and prayed that he might die. From great success to suicidal. Sounds like in just a day or two. I have had enough, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. At once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. And he looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. God made him breakfast. He ate and drank and then lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in that wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then the voice said to him, probably in a whisper, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altar, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." Wow. Interesting story, huh? What we're going to try to do is take this story and figure out what are some principles, what are some of the principles from Elijah's life that we can get about how does God really talk to people, and how does He talk to you? Sound good? Okay, the first principle is this. Sometimes God speaks, if you're taking notes, in thunder and lightning. Sometimes God speaks in thunder and lightning. We see this in Elijah's life, that there are times when God spoke to him that were just amazing, powerful, unmistakable, clear, visible, just amazing. And I want to say that sometimes that will happen for you too. That God will speak to you and do something in your life that is just amazing. That's like thunder and lightning. It's just powerful. But we need to understand that Elijah only had one experience with God, where God spoke to him in thunder and lightning. You might read the Old Testament and go, but look at all these times that God spoke to people. And yeah, it's true, but the reason they got written in the Bible is because God spoke to people. That there are years where God didn't speak that way, but sometimes God speaks to us in powerful ways. So I want you to know that you can have an expectation that God will speak to you in powerful ways, but it may not be a day-to-day thing. In Elijah's life, we can count maybe two or three times where God just did something amazing that was just visible to all people. But most of his life was not like that. There were years of silence from God. So the first thing we understand is that sometimes God speaks in thunder and lightning. The second principle is this, is sometimes God speaks infrequently. Sometimes God speaks infrequently. I mean, there are other times, not because you've done anything wrong, but there are times where God just isn't speaking. He's not speaking. Sometimes we have this idea of God as a vending machine. Like we put in our prayer, we put in our coin, and we get the soda. You know, God, when I pray, cha-ching, you answer. You know, and that works really well with machines. But God's not a machine. He is a personal God. And because He is personal, He's not automatic. There are times we pray and God answers in amazing ways. There are times we pray and He doesn't speak to us. There are times we don't pray and He speaks to us. Because God is God, and we don't control Him. He's not a candy machine, He's not a vending machine, He is God. And so we can't control Him, but sometimes He doesn't speak as clearly as He wants. We want Him to speak. And I think there are reasons for this, but one reason is that in the end, God wants us to worship Him and not His miracles. When God is silent, all we have to hold on to is Him Himself. We can't hold on to the amazing things. We were just holding on to Him. And there are seasons in His life, in our life, where He'll be quiet because He's testing you to see, do you love me or do you just love the gifts I bring you? Are you satisfied with just me? Are you content with just me? Or do you need all the other benefits I give you to love me? David in the Psalm says, if I could just have you, God, I would be satisfied. If I could just see you in your temple, I hunger for you like a deer pants for water. It's just you. And God wants you to have that same experience with Him. There are benefits to following God. There are. Psalm 103 says, forget not all His benefits. And the whole Psalm lists all these things. But in the end, the benefits are additions, but they are not God. And some of us get so excited about all the stuff that God gives us that we forget it's God Himself. It's like the prodigal son who won his dad's inheritance but didn't care much for his dad. He missed the point. The real treasure was the dad himself. And so there are going to be times where you don't hear God that clearly. And it's not something you're doing wrong, but God is just saying, can you love me in the midst of it? Make sense? So sometimes he speaks infrequently. Elijah had a period of 3 years where he heard nothing from God. The third principle is this. Sometimes God speaks in whispers. Sometimes God speaks in whispers. Meaning sometimes he speaks, but it's not all that powerful. He's just whispering something that you might need to hear. It may be hard to make out sometimes. It may not be super clear. You might need to get help. But a lot of time, God speaks in whispers. I remember when I was a Christian for several years before someone even introduced me to the idea of God actually speaking to me. And maybe this is true for you. You're sitting here thinking, I've never thought that God would actually want to speak to me. And I want to say he does. But sometimes he speaks in whispers. When I first heard that God could speak to me, I got so excited. I went to pray. I said, God, I pray. I said, God, what do you want to say to me? And the first few times I heard nothing. That's okay. Next day, God, what do you want? Maybe 3 or 4 days into saying it, I finally heard God speak to me. I'm like, God, I want to know what I should do with my life. What do you want to say to me? And God said, I love you. And I said, great. God, what do you want me to do the next few years? I love you. Okay, all right. I would say probably maybe the first 3 or 4 months of me trying to listen to God, that's all I heard from him. I love you. At first, I was really frustrated. But then I realized that God was doing something in me, that the number one thing he wanted me to know, beyond everything else, guidance, all this stuff, he wanted me to know that he loved me. And that's all he spoke, because that was enough. Sometimes God speaks in whispers. It may not be exactly what you want to hear or how you want to hear it, but he knows you, and he knows what you need to hear. He knows needs that you have that you don't even know. But he may surprise you by what he speaks. And sometimes it's in a whisper. The fourth principle is this. Don't expect the rare to be common. Don't expect the rare to be common. In other words, God will do amazing things in your life. He will speak to you in amazing ways. But just like what we find in Elijah's life and other people, that those moments are rare. God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. Amazing. How many other times did that happen in Moses' life? None. God speaks to people in amazing ways. God spoke to David through a prophet, Nathan. How many times did that happen? Once, maybe twice. The point is that there are going to be some amazing times in your life where God speaks to you, but don't expect those amazing thunder lightning times to be the ones that happen all the time. When I was in my mid-20s, I was at a crossroads as to what to do with my life. And, just so you know a little bit about me, I had all these interests, a lot of desires. This is coffee talk. You can pull out your coffees because we're having a chat now. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I had lots of people who had ideas. My parents knew me really well. They had some dreams for me. I had friends and mentors in my life who had dreams for me. But I was confused. And so I thought, God, I just need to get away from it all and go hiking someplace and just have a whole day of prayer with you. And I don't know if you guys have been to Point Reyes. Have you guys been to Point Reyes before? Beautiful. One of my favorite places to get away. I bought this book and found a hike, a 12-mile hike. And I've never hiked 12 miles in my life. But I'm going to do this. And so, it's this beautiful hike that goes through all these different surroundings. So, you get these dry areas, these lush areas. But about half of it is on this cliff on the ocean. And I remember hiking halfway, about 6 miles. I got to the cliff on the ocean. I sat down at the spot. It was just beautiful. It's like this cliff, and straight down was this ocean roaring. And, I got my Bible out. I started praying. I'm like, God, what is it that you want me to do with my life? I've been praying for years for this. Please show me. And in a very special moment in my life, I still hold on to as a key defining moment, I heard God say very clearly a message to me. He said, John, I want you to do what you love. Because when you do what you love, you will lead other people towards me. Now, God didn't say do this or do this, but he gave me a general principle that freed me up to really pursue some of my passions. It was a powerful time, and it's hard to explain why that was powerful. But I didn't grow up listening to what I wanted. So it was just a very powerful time, and I left that thinking, God, thank you. And I had 6 more miles to hike back, but I was just, my legs were poor, but I didn't care. God spoke to me. I got back to my car, and it was a real changing point in my life. About 3 years ago, I was at another crossroads. I was considering starting Edgewater, but there's a couple other job offers my way as well. Another church was asking me to apply for a position. They wanted to hire me. My current ministry wanted me to go into management, and so I thought, I'm going to go to my special point at Point Reyes. And I remember the exact cliff I was at. I'm going to ask God what he has to say to me. Got my boots on, hiked out there again, beautiful. Totally excited. And all the memories of my previous time there years ago are coming back. I find the exact spot. I sit down. I'm like, God, I'm at a crossroads. You spoke to me years ago at this point. What do you want me to do? Silence. God, I just hiked 6 miles to get here. You know, this is a hard hike. God, you spoke to me years ago here. What do you want me to do? Silence. I sat there for 2 hours, ate my lunch. Nothing. Well, opposed to last time, the hike back was really painful for me. I was sore. I was sore last time, but God spoke to me. This time I'm like, I walked all the way out here and nothing. So my legs are sore. I have huge blisters. I'm like limping along. I remember getting to my car just furious. I drive a stick shift and my legs were so sore I couldn't even drive that well. I couldn't do the shift. So I pull into the nearest 7-Eleven, get a soda. I call my wife. I say, this experience I had was just awful. It sucked. I can't believe I did this. And I went home and God never said anything to me there. And it's one of those moments where I wish God was a vending machine. I did the thing. I wanted a response. But sometimes God does amazing things, but they may be rare. And other times it's just common. God spoke to me through friends in other ways later, but it wasn't the exact same experience. But my point here is don't expect the rare to be common. God will speak to you at moments in powerful ways, and others he won't, but that's who God is. That's who God is. Make sense? So we need to remember, God does speak, but one thing we want to know is that one of God's loudest whispers to you and me is the Bible. That God is constantly whispering to us, and through His Word, through the Bible, that God is speaking. You guys know this verse, but it says that all Scripture is what? God breathed. All Scripture is a whisper from God, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, sometimes we're so hungry to hear God's voice, and He might be saying, have you read my Word? Have you checked with the Bible on this? Because He's whispering to you through that. The main thing I want to say here is that God will speak to you in powerful ways, but don't expect that every day. At the same time, don't expect that God will never speak to you. He will. But we want to be content with what He says and when He says it, and obey what He says. Make sense, church? Okay, great. Now, I want to talk about two situations. I'm going to get some interaction here. Sometimes, someone might come to you, and maybe you guys have had this experience, but someone will come to you and says, you know, I believe that God spoke to me about you. Has anyone had that experience for God? Someone has a word from God for you? Anyone have had that before? Okay, it may happen, and that's a good thing. Sometimes God will speak to other people to speak to you. And I've had people come to me and say, you know, John, I was praying. I felt like God wanted me to say this to you, and they'll say something. So the question is, what do you do when someone comes to you and says that? What do you do if someone comes to you and says, I really believe God has a word for you? Because sometimes, well, we'll get into it. You don't know if you should trust the person or not. So this is what I want us to do. There are four scriptures in your outline. Do you guys see those four little paragraphs? What I want you guys to do is to break up into groups. Find three other people. Try to mix it up. Try to find three people you don't know as well. So you'll probably need to stand up and move around. In fact, what I'll do is have you guys stand up, move around, find three other people. And here, before you do, this is your assignment. We're going to read all these four passages together. Someone have someone read them. And then draw out what are the key principles in these passages about when someone speaks to you on behalf of God. When someone speaks to you and has a word for God, what are the key principles? Does that make sense? Okay, so read these four passages. Have someone write down the key principles, and I'll get you guys back in a few minutes. So fine, go ahead, stand up. Come on, energy. Come on, let's go. Stand up. Do your stretching if you need to. If you want to get some coffee, that's fine. But go ahead and find some people you don't know, and you can make your chairs, move your chairs around, make little circles. Okay, why don't we go ahead and actually stay in your groups, because I'll ask you as groups what you talked about. So here's how I want to do it. It'd be helpful if each group had like a spokesperson who can just share two or three principles they got out of this. So look around, point at the person who's going to be your spokesperson. You can stay in your seats. Go ahead and stay in your seats. All right. So let's start. So here's the question. Looking at these four scriptures you just looked at, what are some principles we can pull out? If someone comes to you and says, I have a word of God for you, and they say something, what are some of the principles? So let's start. James, Jim, and your group right there. What are some principles you guys came up with? Nice and loud. Stand up and say nice and loud.
Test all the prophecies you hear. Make sure that what you're hearing is scripture-breathed.
Great. So yeah, test what you're hearing versus scripture. Do you guys get that? Does it contradict with scripture? Okay, that's a red flag. Great. Something else over here. Yeah. Nice and loud. Britt, stand up, Britt. It's a good test. How do you know if someone's a prophet? Well, if they say something and it doesn't happen, they're probably not a prophet. So yeah, okay, good. Over here, this group.
We saw testing three times.
Well, stand up, yes.
We saw testing like three times. Stay true to God.
Yeah.
And test it, and then don't fear.
Good, great. This group right here in front of me. All right, Rhiannon, go ahead, stand up. You got picked out.
Okay, so we came up with being loyal and faithful to God and to only Him.
Be loyal to God only. And so if someone says a prophecy and it comes true but they lead you away from God, you know that that's probably not something to listen to. Good.
And then great eagerness, being, you know, waiting for it.
Yeah, great eagerness. You guys catch that? So to actually want to hear from God. Good job, yeah. I know I'm skipping some groups. That's okay. Let's go over here. Joe, are you going to be the spokesperson? Okay, go ahead, Jim. Vicky, come on up.
We said
stand up, Vicky. Sorry, I know.
We said research the word for yourself.
Good. Research the word for yourself.
Every day.
Yep.
You know, read your Bible.
Yep.
And we said be hungry for the, you know, the truth.
Good. Be hungry for the truth.
And be positive, not pessimistic.
Be positive, not pessimistic. Good. Let's go to the group. Good. Are you in a group back there? Are you guys in the group?
Yeah.
All right. Someone, yeah, share a couple principles. Nice and loud, Millie. Stand up. You can repeat what they said. What stuck out for you guys?
A lot about, I like when they said, you know, if something happens, they tell you something that doesn't happen.
Good, yeah, test the prophet. Yeah, great. So what we're getting is if someone just says something, hey, this is a message from God, you don't automatically say, okay, but there's some testing involved. Good. I know I'm skipping some groups. Let's go to Kenya. Who's in your group? All right, who's your spokesperson? Jared, what a surprise. Just kidding. I think so too. Pick someone, Jared. Pick someone.
I don't need to talk too much.
All right, go ahead, Jared. You got elected. Stand up and share with us.
Well, I definitely think to accept it with eagerness, to eagerly accept, and also to test everything.
Yep.
Hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil, and then if somebody says something that does not come true, basically they have no, it says, do not be afraid of them.
Yeah.
Pretty much, you know.
They have no authority.
Exactly.
Yeah, good. Good job, Jared. Let's do two more groups. Brian, who's in your group over there? Who's your spokesperson? Oh, you are. Okay, great.
So pretty much everybody else is saying, yeah. Testing, looking to it, but also holding God close. And
yeah.
Turning the
Good. All right, we'll do that. Good job, yeah. Give yourself a round of applause. You can, Bill. Bill wants to say something. Listen up. Yeah.
In the third paragraph, sometimes signs and wonders can be deceptive.
Yeah, right. Do you catch that? Sometimes signs and wonders can be deceptive. That someone actually made you something amazing, but still lead you away from God. So that's, yeah, really good. Okay, great. So you can move your seats back. We're going to kind of wrap up here and pull these principles together. Good job, you guys. Okay. So let's just summarize what you guys have said. We're going to go back to our notes. If you're taking notes, we're going to fill in some of the blanks here. So the first thing, I'm just repeating what you guys already figured out, is when someone claims to have a word from God for you, the first thing is don't despise it, but don't blindly follow it either. Don't despise it, but don't blindly follow it. So for instance, if someone comes to you and says, you know, I believe that God's spoken to me and wants me to tell you this, don't automatically despise and go, forget you, I don't want to hear this, who are you? God says, no, you don't want to quench the Spirit. You don't want to treat prophecies with contempt. You want to be eagerly hearing it, so don't despise it. At the same time, just because someone says it's from God doesn't mean it is. So you don't want to blindly follow it either. Make sense? You want to test it. The second thing is, remember that if it contradicts the Bible, it's not from God. I love the city of Berea, because when the Bereans heard Paul, he was saying things that they had never heard about. They said, well, let's see if it's true. Let's go to the Bible and test it. God would want the same thing from you. But you want to test it with the Bible. If it contradicts the Bible, someone says, I believe God is saying this to you, and you say, but the Bible clearly says something different, it's not from God. Make sense? The third principle is this. Remember, I call it the one and done principle. The one and done principle. Meaning if someone has a word for you or some type of, hey, I think God's going to do this, and it doesn't come true, next time they have a word for you, say thank you, but you know not to listen to them. The one and done principle. Make sense? Listen to it. If it seems like it's from God, go ahead and follow. But if it doesn't come true, you know they're not hearing from God correctly. Don't be rude. Don't call them names. Just say thank you and move on. Know you take that with a grain of salt, that they probably weren't hearing from God the first time. Make sense? Great. So those are some of the principles that we hear from Scripture about when someone speaks a word to you. Don't despise it. So don't just say, I don't want to hear it, but at the same time, test it and see if it's from God. Now, the contrary is true as well. There might be times where as you're praying, God speaks to you on behalf of somebody else. You may have a word for someone else. And so I just want to give you, this is just from my experience, a couple of pointers for this. One is this. Unless you're absolutely certain, say, I think God told me rather than God told me. So if you come up to someone and someone, God's giving you a word, unless you're absolutely sure, don't say, hey, God told me this for you, but have some humility and say, you know, I believe or I think that God said this. I need to tell you this. I think this is from God. It just opens up the way for you to have some humility and for the person to receive it in humility as well and not feel like, oh, well, God just said that. I have to listen. Make sense? The second thing is this. It's our job to deliver the message. It's our job to deliver what we hear, but it's their job to weigh it and respond. It's their job to weigh what you're saying and respond. You can't be responsible for what they do with the message that you give to them. You can't be codependent and try to make them do what you think you heard. You need to relay the message and just trust that at that point it's up to them to weigh it and to obey. It's not your responsibility anymore. I'm a messenger. I'm not the one holding you through this, but I'm the messenger, and you decide whether you think it's from God, and you decide how you're going to respond. Just a story in the book of Acts about this. It goes out, this isn't your outline, but it says, after we've been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. So this prophet comes to Judea. Coming over this, he took Paul's belt, which is really funny. So you can see this man coming up to Paul, taking off his belt, and then he tied his own hands and feet with it. And he said, the Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. This prophet is coming over to Paul and saying, when you go to Jerusalem, they're going to bind you, and they're going to hand you over to the Gentiles, which back then was not good news. In other words, you're going to be persecuted, possibly killed, when you go over here. When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Look, this man just warned you. If you go there, you will be persecuted and possibly killed. Please don't go. But then Paul answered, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, the Lord's will be done. After this, we got ready and went up to Jerusalem. So this man, this prophet came, and actually we find out he was telling the truth. He was giving a warning from God that if you go here, you will die. But it was up to Paul to decide what to do with that. And the people accepted his responsibility. Okay, you discern it, you respond, we'll support you. So when you give a message, don't be codependent. Make it be responsible for their decision. That's up to them to decide. Make sense? Great. We want to hear from God, you guys. We need to hear from God. But we want to take what we hear from God and have proper expectations. We want to take what we hear from God from the people, test it, and when we give a word, we want to do it in the right way. Because God does speak. Amen?
Amen.
Great. Let's pray. Let's close in prayer. God, we thank you that you are alive and that you do speak. And I just pray, God, for all of us, that for those of us who are not used to hearing your voice, that we would open ourselves for the first time, perhaps, this week, to just taking time out and saying, God, what do you have to say to me? God, will you speak to me? And God, I know there are people here who have never done that. There may be people here, God, who have been following you for years but never realized that praying is a two-way communication, not just one way. And so, God, I pray that for those people that you would open up a whole new avenue of their lives with you, where they are hearing from you personally. And God, I pray for all of us that when our hearing from you doesn't fit our expectations, that we will hold on to you anyway. God, there are times where you'll speak to us in whispers, other times you'll speak to us in thunder and lightning, but I pray that we would be content with whatever we hear and that we would respond to it. And Lord, we're a community. There are going to be times where you speak to not us directly, but through other people, or you'll speak to us on behalf of other people. I pray that we would be hearers and communicators, and we do that well, God, in humility. That we would speak in humility, that we'd receive your word in humility, that we'd test it against Scripture, and that we'd be faithful to your word. Thank you, God, for your ability to speak. And Lord, there are people here who need to follow you right now. They're afraid of opening up to hearing from you because you're going to speak to them and tell them that they need to repent and that they need to give their lives to you. And Lord, for those people, I just pray they would give their lives to you this morning, 100%, that they would trust you and begin a new relationship with you. Thank you, Lord. We pray all this in your wonderful and good name. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's give God a round of applause.